Ilopakhyanam atroktam.
Ilopakhyanam atroktam.
Taropakhyanam evacha.
Taropakhyanam evacha.
Suryavamsanu kathanam.
Suryavamsanu
kathanam. Shashadadya nigadaya.
Shashadadya nigadaya.
Ilopakhyanam atroktam. Taropakhyanam evacha.
Taropakhyanam evacha.
Suryavamsanu kathanam.
Suryavamsanu kathanam.
Shashadadya nirgadaya.
Shashadadya nirgadaya. Taropakhyanam atroktam. Ila Upakhyanam, the history of Ila. Atra, herein. Uktam is spoken. Tara Upakhyanam, the history of Tara. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Surya Vamsa, of the dynasty of the sun god. Anukathanam, the narration. Shashada Adayaha, Shashada and others. Nirga Adaya, Nirga and others. Translation. Also related are the histories of Ila and Tara and the description of the descendants of the sun god, including such kings as Shashada and Nirga. So we're continuing the summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Some of the topics that were in the Bhagavatam are being mentioned. So this verse, today's verse, mentions about histories of Ila and Tara and kings as Shashada and Nirga. But main topic that I'm going to cover this morning is of Tara. I was planning to do for Ila too, but yesterday Mother Shivanavan very nicely described about Ila, who was transformed from a woman to a man. Is it what? Something wrong?
Was it Ila?
Yes, Ila. Ila is same as Sudumna. So, dear devotees, I want you to be very, very attentive in what I'm going to narrate today. Because in the end, not in the end, but after I have narrated, I have a question for you. You're going to act like a jury. So we're telling a story today about Tara. And before Shukadev Goswami tells the story of Tara in the ninth canto, he says to Maharaj Parikshit, "O King, thus far you have heard the description of the dynasty of Sun God." And that's when yesterday Shivanandan was talking about King Sujumna or Ila, and that was from the Sun dynasty. He says, "Now hear the most glorious and purifying description of the dynasty of Moon God." This description mentions kings like Ila, thank you, that is Pururava, of whom it is glorious to hear. There are two words that are mentioned in this verse that Sukadev Goswami is saying. He's saying this verse, as he's talking about this dynasty, he mentions that it is Punya Kirtaya, persons of whom it is glorious to hear. And then he mentions also the word Pavana. So not only are they glorious to hear, but actually they are purifying to the heart. So keep those two things in mind. What we're going to hear is somebody who is glorious, and some bodies who are, when we hear about it, it purifies our heart. So Lord Vishnu, as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from his lake of navel, Lord Brahma was generated, as we know. And from Lord Brahma, he produced many rishis, Sapta rishis. And one of them is Angira. Now, Angira Muni was in ecstasy. And as he was in ecstasy, tears flowed from his eyes. And his wife, Anasuya, she drank those tears. Can you imagine? She drank the tears of her husband when he was in ecstasy. We hear Narottam Das Thakur saying, Kabhi Nira, what is that? Goranga bolite habe, Pulaka sharira, Hari Hari bolite, Kabe nayane bin, nayane habe nira. When will tears will flow from my eyes? So Atris Muni's eyes, tears were flowing, and Anasuya drank those tears, and she became impregnated by who? But by Soma, the moon god. So can you imagine the glorious birth of Chandra, Soma? So glorious. Now, this Soma, he was so glorious that Lord Brahma, his grandfather, he asked him to be the director of the brahmanas, the drugs, and other luminaries, other planets, etc. So here's Soma in charge of a lot of things, the brahmanas, even the brahmanas, and he conquered all the three worlds, and he performed a great Rajasuya sacrifice. As we know, the Rajasuya sacrifices, it takes a lot for somebody to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice. So he was successful in performing that Rajasuya sacrifice. However, when we do something good, what happens? Tendency is, what happens when we do proud. Something really good?
To get proud.
Proud, yes. So he got proud. The word is used, darpat. So out of his pride, he did something that was not good. What he did, now we think in ISKCON we do things bad, and we have heard people falling down and all those kind of things. But hear what Chandra did. He had the audacity of forcefully, the word he has used, balat. Balat means by force. He forcefully kidnapped his guru's wife, Tara. This is who we were talking about, Tara. So he, because he was puffed up, he kidnapped Brihaspati, his guru's wife. Remember, we're talking about glorious people here.
Remember, we were talking about whose hearts are, when we hear, our hearts get purified. So this is what he did. Actually, I was remember reading one time, a while ago, Radha Govinda Maharaj's class on this, and I remember him saying that Brihaspati's brother had instigated Chandra to do so. Now, Brihaspati, he's the priest of the demigods. We have Shukracharya and Acharya of the demons, then we have an Acharya, Brihaspati, of the demigods. So Brihaspati, he was once, and why did Brihaspati's brother instigated that? Because Brihaspati one time got attracted to his brother's wife, Mamata. So he forcibly took her, and while she was pregnant, he desired to impregnate her. And then the child within the womb, no, then he cursed the child within the womb, and he impregnated her forcefully. And that's an interesting story too. I'll just kind of tell a little bit. Basically what happened was that a son was born, and before the son was born, the son was born, and then when the son was born, Brihaspati said to Mamata, that is his sister-in-law, he said, "You foolish woman, although this child was born from the wife of one man through the semen discharged by another, you should maintain him." Upon hearing this, Mamata replied, "O Brihaspati, you maintain him." So this is going on between Brihaspati and his sister-in-law. They have a child, none of them want to maintain him. That kind of thing happens around here, yeah? That kind of thing happens up there. So so basically, that whole incident happened, and his brother, Brihaspati's brother, therefore instigated Soma to kidnap the wife of his guru, because he was upset with Brihaspati. So, listen to this. Soma captures Brihaspati's wife. And you would think that Brihaspati would chastise him. Give me my wife back. What are you doing, you foolish disciple? But here the word is used, yachita. Brihaspati was begging. He begged Soma to please return my wife, and he requested him again and again. But guess what? Chandra did not return his wife. And then what happened? And it's again, he says here, this was due to his false pride. So there was a fight between people. Now here they are all demigods, yeah? This is all happening in demigod land. Who is going to fight with who? Chandra. Because everybody is kind of like demigods here, and Brihaspati is the guru, so how is he going to get any help? So he goes and asks for the demons for their help. I mean, this is a little too much. But he did. He went and asked the demons for help to fight Brihaspati. And in that situation, different people took different people's side. Certainly, Shukracharya came, like, this is his chance because he has an eternal enmity towards Brihaspati, yeah? The demons and the demigods. So he brought everybody to help Chandra. And Brihaspati got basically all the demigods. Even Lord Shiva took Brihaspati's side because he was the son of Angira. Not Angira. I think maybe Angira. Angira Muni. And I could be wrong with that. And he was his spiritual. He had gotten a lot of knowledge from Brihaspati's father, and therefore he took side of Brihaspati. So basically, there was a war that went on between the two sides because of Tara. So what happens? The fight went on, and there was no conclusion. So finally, Angira went to Lord Brahma, the grandfather, and said, could you please kindly take care of this? So Lord Brahma comes down, and he really chastises Soma to give back the wife. So Stidini Muni comes with a smile on his face, hearing this whole katha. So basically, Lord Brahma chastises him. And so at that stage, Soma was very good, and he gave Tara back to Brihaspati's husband. Actually, it was Lord Brahma who delivered Tara to her husband, Brihaspati. At that time, her husband saw that she was pregnant. Isn't this katha Bhagavatam interesting? Is this like so much juice there? Rasa. So then what happens that Brihaspati, when he saw that she was pregnant, this is what he said. You foolish woman, they love to say women foolish. So anyway, you foolish woman, your womb, which was meant for me to impregnate, has been impregnated by someone other than me. Immediately deliver your child. Immediately deliver it. So by Sukadeva Goswami's, Sukadeva Goswami continues, by Brihaspati's order, Tara was very much ashamed. Can you imagine her situation? She's been, not really her fault, doesn't seem like that, but maybe there was. But she was kidnapped, then she got impregnated, and then now her husband is getting on her case. So she was feeling very ashamed. And so she immediately did deliver the child. And this child was so beautiful. He had a golden bodily hue. When both Brihaspati and Soma saw that child, it was very different than the last time when Brihaspati and the other lady, Mamata, none of them wanted to have that child, yeah? In this situation, when they saw the son, both Brihaspati and Soma wanted to have that son. And they said, Brihaspati said, this is my child, not yours. Soma said, this is my child, not yours. So they both are fighting with each other that they wanted to have the child. And so again, believe me or not, there was fight again went with between Brihaspati and the moon god. So at that stage, and so there were the child who was there, and maybe he was a young kid or whatever. Then he, because he saw that was happening for him, they wanted to get him. So the child said to the mother, and he says, "Tell the truth, you unchaste woman. What is the use of your unnecessary shame? Why do you not admit your fault? Immediately, tell me about your faulty behavior." In other words, tell me, is this son of Soma or is this son of Brihaspati? So this whole thing was happening in front of all the assembled people. So Lord Brahma is the only sane person. He comes and he says, he takes Tara aside in a secluded place and ask, tell me, who is this child? Whose child? And she quietly said, Soma. And so the child was given to Soma. I'd like to ask you a question at this stage. So here we see Soma acting as he did. At this stage, what if you saw this whole incident, let's say, happening in our ISKCON movement right now, do not think that our movement is not the Bhagavatam, so to speak. One time, one lady asked, and I don't know who that lady is, and maybe the senior Vaishnavas can tell me, but one lady asked Srila Prabhupada, is Joan of Arc in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Oh no, she said, is there somebody similar to Joan of Arc in Srimad Bhagavatam? And then Prabhupada said, Joan of Arc? Joan of Arc is of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that she, is there somebody similar. And he made the point that because she's connected to God, then that is Bhagavatam. He said, Bhagavatam is unlimited. Bhagavatam is unlimited. So if Joan of Arc is Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada said Bhagavatam is unlimited because anything connected to God, if somebody is engaged in the service of God, that is Bhagavatam. So yes, and even Prabhupada even said that we are a branch of the Chaitanya tree. So we should not think that this is happening over there and we are here. I mean, these are none of them, or maybe some are, but they're not Nitya Siddhas in the sense, these are Jivas, just like we are Jivas. So my question to you, devotee, is that if this situation was happening within ISKCON right now, a similar situation, and you're the jury here, what kind of punishment would you, or what kind of reprimand, or what kind of disciplinary action, if you would, for our moon god? Yes, Didi Dimoni Prabhu, you're excited.
I brought a similar question in a class in Mayapur about this guru who was really getting heavy about Vedic culture, you know, in a very...
A similar question.
Are you going to give me the answer?
Well, I think it's, well, my own way.
And okay.
Because there's a lot of complexity there, and he was being a little simplistic in his presentation, very black and white, and I was bringing up complexity and kind of getting him a little, not upset, but kind of like, you know, he wasn't sure how to answer it. So anyways, I finally got him, to make the story short, I finally got him to a happy spot where he said ISKCON was better than Vedic culture.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
so that could
you.
Be taken in two ways. You know, that it doesn't deal with that complexity that he claims to identify with. Or
so
maybe there's room to grow where we do proactively deal with that complexity in a progressive way.
So what kind of Sri Mani Prabhu, what kind of, if any?
Oh, what would happen today in ISKCON? We just throw him out and that's that.
So, okay, I'm asking you what you would do, Sri Mani Prabhu. What would you do?
What I do? Well, you just got to try to help them out. I mean, you know, it's the same three modes of material nature always, and people are grappling with it, and the point is to help people work through it and move forward.
So you would
You're
allow
trying
him...
trying to extract them from the three modes. You're not trying to bury them in them.
So are you saying, would you allow him to continue to do his service as the moon god? He was in charge of the drugs and the luminaries.
Might have given him a time out, perhaps.
You might give him a time out, perhaps. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
These pastimes, I guess, has happened within the realm of the demigods. The rules of the demigods are completely different from mankind, if we know, you know.
Yes, so no, I do understand, but I really want to.
I'll touch that point just now.
So,
just even the apsaras and all of the women in the heavenly planet. You know, they're not subjected to one person or anything like that. It's a whole different ballgame. But but let's say this happened in ISKCON, then that person, we can't ban him. He can attend the programs, but he doesn't have any responsibility or anything. He just attend the program and see how he does for like a few years, and then maybe reinstate him back, something okay. like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any of the ladies would like to say something that what they would like to see done? Let's say if you're not in charge, but you would like your authorities to do something with Soma? Yes, Kosher Prabhu.
Well, I just find it very...
Wait.
It's interesting because I'm sure there's more to the story. For example, when Payadu was taken away, they wanted to kill Prahlad in her womb. And, that's not a good example. Anyways, I was just saying, like, it's very specifically stated that this woman is innocent. Don't harm her. So it's. I would like to know more of the story, because why is so much blame going on to the woman who's been abducted and impregnated? It's like, really? Like, really? So that's what I'm saying, like, isn't there a whole lot more backstory than what we're given here?
But what about, we're not even...
You're not even going there.
Tara. Okay. I'm saying about what Soma did.
Yeah, good question. I don't have an answer.
Well...
I'd want to know more.
Okay, thank you.
Haribol, you said, you happened to say that Lord Brahma was there?
Yes, Lord Brahma.
Yeah, so if I was in that position, I would definitely request him to be the decision maker. And it's also important to see that Soma and Brihaspati meet, and Tara also feels justified, and so does Mamata feel justified with whatever the course of action is.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody, for your input. Remembering hearing Radhagunda Maharaj talking on this subject matter a while ago, and I do remember him saying that Soma God was continued his service. And as he was before. So in other words, he got the son, who was named Buddha, and that was it. Story finished. He continued his service as Soma. Why did Lord Brahma do so? If something like that again happened in ISKCON and our authorities would have allowed somebody to continue to do so, there'd be a lot of discussion on the internet about that was done. A lot. The answer that why did Lord Brahma do so is given by Shukadev Goswami in the 10th canto of the Rasa Panchadhyayi, last chapter of that five chapters. And at one stage, Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadev Goswami that how could the Lord of the Yadus behave so contemptibly? Like, how could Lord Krishna behave in such a way as to dance with other wives of others? And to that answer, to that question, Shukadev Goswami said, the status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparently audacious transgression of morality we may see in them. For they are just like fire, which devours everything fed into it and remains unpolluted. In the purport, describes that Sridhar Swami mentions the examples of Brahma. We know he had his fall down. Indra, we know he had many fall downs. Soma, Vishwamitra, and others. This is the fire of bhakti. The fire of bhakti can burn up more than what we think we can. I'm not here sitting down on the Vyasasan and saying that, oh, what Lord Brahma was not right or right, or what we may do was would be right or not right. But some of you said to take the person off their responsibilities, whether that is right or not to take him off and let him continue. I'm not here to sit down and evaluate that. However, we have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam very, very carefully and see what is happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam and how we apply it. And we understand the process. The main point is to understand the process of bhakti is beyond morality. We take to Krishna consciousness, and initially, like Prabhupada said, these four regulative principles, that just makes us human. As we progress in our spiritual life, then we become moral, so to speak. But then as we progress further, we go beyond morality. The devotees are the most moral people. We're vegetarians, we're vegans, we are peacemakers, but that's not our goal. Our goal, if we want our goal to be that, then we will stay on that goal. If we want to be moral people, Bhagavatam will make us moral people. Arjuna was a moral person. His arguments were very moral. Very moral. And because he was a moral person, Krishna asked him to go beyond morality. The other name that is mentioned here in today's verse is Ila. And I said Sri Vrindavan touched on that. I mean, she told the story, but I'm going to touch a little bit. I was planning to tell the story, but now I don't have to since she did. But I'm going to touch a little bit on one subject matter there. As we heard yesterday, she, the wife wanted a girl, and so the husband, the king, wanted a son, but the wife quietly asked the priest to get a daughter for her. So she got a daughter. Now, what happened? The father wanted a son. And then he asks the priest that he wants a son. What happened? I asked you for a son, and you gave me a daughter. I had faith in you. And Vasishtha, understanding what happened, he prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead made that girl into a boy. Again, think about it. If a father, nowadays we see that girls may change their sex from girls to boy or boys to girl, and we get appalled by it. And certainly it may be, but is it? Here we're seeing that not the child, it's a young child. And it's the father who's asking to change the gender of the child. It's something to think about. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are our, by hearing these pastimes, we become purified. By hearing these pastimes of glorious people. These are the dynasties of where Lord Ram was born and Krishna was born. Krishna was born in the Soma dynasty. Lord Ram was born in the solar dynasty. So these are great dynasties. They're glorified. And we become pure. But think and meditate on what we are hearing, what is happening. Maybe we may not have influence. Maybe we are just little people, Anishras. Describe Ishras and Anishras. So maybe we are Anishras, we are little people. And in our movement we have Ishras who take care of managing things and everything. So the Ishras may have, and we're talking about the Ishras of the heavenly planet. I mean, as far as Tivakam Prabhu's point that, you know, the rules are different there than rules are here. No, Prabhupada specifically mentions that when it describes about, let me see if I can find it. Prabhupada mentions in the purport. That how Brihaspati, he's such a learned, I can't find it, but basically he was saying that, oh, here it is. The sex impulse is so strong in this material world that even Brihaspati, who is supposed to be the priest of demigods and a very learned scholar, wanted to have sexual relationship with his brother's pregnant wife. So certainly Srila Prabhupada is not saying that it is fine. This can happen even in the society of the higher demigods, so what to speak of human society? So Prabhupada is not saying, oh, they have different rules or regulations. No. He says that is, so we see that this is happening in planets of the demigods. But we hear about them, it will purify our heart. And if we hear attentively, if we hear carefully, if we try to re-hear and hear again and again and again, it will purify our hearts to be able to understand that actually every single word and every instance is all to glorify Bhakti Devi. And how Bhakti purifies everybody. No matter what impurities we have in our heart, no matter what difficulties we have, Bhakti Devi will purify our heart. Because every word of the Bhagavatam is full of bhakti, is full of rasa. This Bhagavatam has nothing to do with morality. In the very second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Bhagavatam is advertising about itself, when Vyasadeva is advertising about Bhagavatam, it says, Dharma Projita Gaitava. It rejects materially motivated religiosity. So if we want to be in a materially motivated religiosity level, we will stay there. But we have to go beyond that. You see, each and every example in the Srimad Bhagavatam are far out. Or you can use the word bizarre, or I don't know, whatever, or interesting, whatever word you want to use, the Bhagavatam is full of that. I mean, look at Bhishma Dev, he's our Mahajan. And Bhishma Dev, who is our Mahajan, he's an example of somebody who is a manager. Yeah? And when Draupadi asked a very poignant question to Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev said, that's right. Morality is difficult to ascertain what is right and wrong. He said that. And when Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows, Draupadi had the same question to Bhishma Dev. Why did he answer that way? And Bhishma Dev said that I was eating the grains of them, of the Duryodhan. I had taken a vow of protecting the throne. So it's almost like politics. He had to protect the throne. But then he didn't protect Draupadi. But, so here's an example of Bhishma that sometimes we may have to act in a certain way As a manager, we may have to act, we may have to punish the person because everybody is telling us to do. But the point is that internally, Bhishma Dev was constantly thinking about Krishna. Internally, he was absorbed in Krishna. Although he fought against Krishna, internally he was absorbed in the loving relationship with Krishna. So that is the process of our Krishna consciousness, that is understanding of Bhakti Devi, that how we have to cultivate our internal spiritual life. We may have to act in a certain way, but we have to cultivate our spiritual life. We have to hear and reread the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that by Krishna's mercy, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of our spiritual master, that we can really appreciate and cultivate bhakti within our hearts. In that way, we can progress in our spiritual life. So if you have any questions, please do so. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada said that although Krishna says abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me, and in this instance you're describing how Arjuna was morally correct, but Krishna said that's not my desire that you be morally correct, I want you to follow my instruction. So Srila Prabhupada said that we are not in the Vedic times. We don't have a position. We're ruling. So we have to follow the laws. And therefore, we have to moderate how we behave publicly. So I just wanted to make that point.
Thank you. Thank you very, very... Thank you very much. Very important point. Not that we follow and do whatever we want to do, but that we should follow the rules and regulations. Thank you very much. Guru. Yes, Guru.
Along the same lines as Prabhu was saying, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of the interaction between Kalidas. And Yadu Thakur, Kalidas used to take the remnants of all the Vaishnavas. And he was talking with Yadu Thakur. And he was explaining, Kalidas was explaining to Yadu Thakur that he's a great Vaishnava and he wanted to take his remnants. And he was explaining the glories of Vaishnavas. And Yadu Thakur agreed with him that the Vaishnavas are glorious in all ways and their remnants, their mercy should be taken. But Kalidas said, Yadu Thakur said that doesn't apply to me. I'm fallen. And so Prabhupada in the purport there appreciates Yadu Thakur's position, that he's made a distinction between where he accepted that Vaishnavas are exalted and their remnants should be taken. Basically, they can do no wrong like that. He accepted that position, but he felt it didn't apply to him, and Prabhupada appreciated that. That's how we should think. That those descriptions are true. Vaishnavas aren't subject to our judgment. They are great. So we shouldn't think that that applies to me. We just think that doesn't apply to me, like Yadu Thakur thought. And so I think that, you know, hearing the descriptions you've given from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can accept those discussions, but we shouldn't think that I can act like that. And because Yadu Thakur said it doesn't apply to me.
Thank you. Yeah, if we think we can act like that, that means you cannot act like that.
As soon as you think I can act like that, and as you can't. Yes. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Once? Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.